tua pendakan dalam isi suluh pra isi kota dalam kan cuana wacuana yang lagi sengkan pra and on sale ilang kray om despo on sepetan thank you. Thanks a lot, people. That's just not part of Parliament yesterday. Where they said we have to start, everyone has to use their own languages when they speak. And we're just taking over because there are certain people on the ANC side, and even the Honourable Lapu and Honourable Smiles, that can speak Afrikaans, and I'm speaking Afrikaans. But certain people can only tell me. The IFP will tell me this mooi. Hoe gaan dit met jou? Hulle ken alles wat basis is. And he agrees with me. That is fundamental. This morning before we start our meeting, we'll just get three parties to get themselves. I wonder should we do the 2 minutes just after the report. What time do you think we should stop the meeting already? On Volgina, because it's for a women's caucus too. But we still need just to go over our minutes. So what we'll do, the person want to complete your work completely at 12 o'clock, is that in order? And because at tapas, 12 o'clock, we have to just do our own house business, and we have 2 minutes. And today we are only going to do the Millennium Development Goal. And the reason why do we do it is every year around about September, the Honourable Speaker would like to know how far the departments get when it comes to the MDGs. And normally a full report they collect a full report of all the departments. So we thought that seeing that it is September month, let us listen to the department, and when it comes to the department itself, we will question you on it. We are going to start now the meeting. So Llewellyn, are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. We receive apologies from Honourable Sosana, Honourable Kanyaho, Honourable Dudley, and I think Honourable Jacob has been trying to call me all morning, but for some reason I'm not getting through to him. It might be that he's just apologizing for me because he's not there. And
item S was originally supposed to be part of this meeting. What is the reason why it is not part of the meeting?
When it comes to the IQF, there's quite a lot of work that we need from them, because we want to know what's happening in our schools too. Because okay, this is done within the schools itself. Because we do visit, we have to question them on, you know, how is it happening in schools. And the department was not ready for us on that note. So they agreed with me that we come back, we're going to do our annual report, and then straight after that they'll have their IQMS ready. You may speak.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is, it isn't on the agenda, so it's not a point of debate. But your response is, I accept it with difficulty because the department should be ready at any time to talk on something as integral to the system as IQMS. But obviously have to accept that.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Lapu, for the question. And I think within our introduction, you know, with a minute, we'll make a note of it. Because I'll ask prepared, you know, for anyone to ask questions on it, because we are accountable to Parliament. Anything that you would like to say, Honourable Gina? Fine. So, yes, Honourable Smile?
Chairperson, you, I don't know whether we're discussing the agenda now, or are we dealt?
No, we have only thing we're discussing is the IQMS. Whatever other matters there are that we'd like to speak to will be dealt with in the matters arising from the minute. Because there are certain things I'm sure that people would like to have clarity on, but will be in the minute. That's why I say let us work with the department till 12 o'clock, and from 12 o'clock we go through our minutes. Because then we are alone and we can speak what we'd like to speak about. Is that in order?
That's right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Mrs. Carl, sir, are there any apologies from your side?
Yes,
we don't have written apologies yet. Do we?
Yes, we do, Chair, Honourable Chair. We have written apologies from the Minister, who's in Cabinet this morning, and we have an apology from the DG, who's currently involved in addressing some urgent matters related to Section 101B, and he has asked me to stand in on his behalf, and I'm supported by Ms. Carol Mugodiliwe. May I also just respond, Honourable Chair, to the question around the IQMS item. As you all know, the ANRs are being conducted right now, and many officials of the DBE, including those IQMS officials, are all out in the field, and we would have been, as you can see, we're quite a thin delegation here today, and for that reason I think that was also part of what informed the discussion with us. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for that. Because those are points too that we didn't bring up, but the fact is, like the members are saying, if something is on the agenda, we'd like to speak to it, you know, that time we need it. But as it is, I accepted it from the department. Yes, Honourable Lavo.
Chair, at our last meeting, we, in fact, you as chairperson, brought up the issue of the crisis in the Northern Cape.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is a crisis with 16,000 children affected. And you indicated that at the next meeting, which is this meeting,
mm-hmm.
that we should get an update. Now, the Minister has been to the Northern Cape. She has received a report from her officials. Are we going to get that update on what is happening in the Northern Cape?
I don't think the department didn't indicate to me because the DG wants to do it with us. And according to this letter, yes, the DG is in Limpopo. That's why I asked them whether they have apologies. But I think the matter, you know, relates again to the department. The matter is urgent. And when we get you, before we even speak to... Because I know our first meeting will have to be with the Auditor General of South Africa. And the department will be present. And I think just after the Auditor General's report, the department can speak to us on it. And I think, too, that there is, like, something happening, too, with us. You know, perhaps there's a possibility that we have to visit Northern Cape, too, as the committee. Yeah, we are thinking on that one. I don't want to commit ourselves, but we are thinking about it, that we can see ourselves. Thanks a lot. Ms. Carlson, I'm sorry for all this interruption. You may speak. Will half an hour be okay for you? Will it be okay? All right, you may start, Mrs. Carlson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. We start this presentation today in the context of a full assessment of our progress to date on the Education for All goals and the Millennium Development Goal. We are expected as a country to report on an annual basis on our development, on those development goals. And we also speak in relation to the action plan being an articulation of all of the sentiments captured within the MDGs and the EFA goals. This presentation today will provide the Portfolio Committee with a full assessment of the progress that we have made as a country to the achievement of these goals. We will note also some of the concerns in terms of the unfolding of our operational aspects in relation to these goals, but in the context of our strategic plan, our annual performance plan, and all of the programmatic aspects of the DBE, this presentation is going to reflect on all of those aspects in relation to our assessment of progress to date. The presentation is going to be looking also at summarising government policies and programs which are aimed at realising the EFA goals and targets. And we also speak to this in the context of the commitment of the DBE to quality, providing quality education and access for all of our learners as a fundamental right. The presentation will be presented by Ms. Nuga Delibe, who is the Chief Director for Strategic Planning and Reporting. And she will take us through the slides that have been shared with you. We have been requested to be very succinct in our presentation, so a number of the slides I think would be dealt with as having been read, but the context of each of those drafts that are presented there will be fully explained by the presenter, Ms. Nugulilini. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to hand over to her right now.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members and colleagues. So the presentation I'm going to make really looks at the Education for All goals. Thank you very much. Education for All goals, but also contextualizes it within the peculiar context, the particular context of South Africa. What we have done in the Department of Basic Education is to look at these international goals as how they are felt, if you like, in the country, across the different provinces, in different income groups, etc. But obviously bearing in mind the particular rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, the South African Schools Act, and the policies and guidelines that emanate from that, as well as the South African Schools Act. And there's, in terms of the alignment of national policy and national plans, there's clearly alignment with the six goals of the Education for All movement, as well as the Millennium Development Goals, which take as part of them education, basic education goals, as well as other goals related to gender equity, etc. So the six goals essentially speak to early childhood care, gender, ensuring that by 2015 all children, particularly females, complete and those in difficult circumstances and belonging to minorities, including disabled learners, have access to and complete free and compulsory primary education of good quality. Goal 3 speaks to the learning needs of all young people and adults through equitable access to appropriate learning and life skills programs. Under that particular one, Goal 4 then speaks to adult literacy, 50% improvement in adult literacy by 2015, especially for women, and equitable access to basic and continuing education for adults. Goal 5 looks at gender disparities in primary and secondary enrollment, as well as female completion, if you like, and equal access to achievement in basic education of good quality. And finally, Goal 6 looks at quality of education and the different parameters and dynamics, aspects of quality, ensuring excellence for all, particularly in terms of literacy, numeracy, and life skills, but not limited to those. So the summary really of this presentation is the next slide, which indicates whether the target is likely to be achieved by 2014. We use 2014 here because the sectoral plan uses that as a particular the horizon, but clearly it's been since 1990 when the Education for All goals were agreed upon globally. There's been movement over the last 24, 25 years. The indications are that post 2015, the emphasis will be on post compulsory education, but developing countries, particularly in the South, are pressing for more emphasis on quality of education and how that affects different income groups. So there is debate at the moment at all sorts of multilateral and global agencies in terms of post 2015 goals. So
this line just looks at the goals that are most likely to be achieved, and goal six is the one really dealing with the quality of education and the ensuring excellence for all, so that recognized and measurable learning outcomes are achieved by all, particularly in the life skills, literacy, and numeracy, not likely to be achieved for all groups. Certainly, there is a lot of discussion. There has been a lot of discussion and presentations to this effect, but I'll go through the others as well. So just in terms of early childhood development, and we use early childhood from zero to foundation phase in schooling. The first slide looks at 0 to 4 year old children and their participation in education institutions by province. By year, sorry, 2002 to 2011. Most of the information here is 2011 data, because we reflect a lot on household information, which is independently collected by Statistics South Africa in the General Household Survey. So we've just analyzed this information. The next one looks at per province, what the improvements have been, and it's gratifying to see that, particularly in the provinces where they're coming off a low baseline, substantial improvements in participation have been achieved over the last 2-3 years. Similar effect, slightly less steep gradient for the participation of 5-year-olds, 8 in 10 5-year-olds that joined in grade one, we would say have attended reception grade in schooling, which is something that's almost unheard of. But it does speak to the great effort, and does speak to the introduction of nutrition programs, particularly because then children have stability and the assurance that they will actually be able to concentrate in class. Goal two then looks at female children in difficult circumstances, in minorities, etc., that have access to and complete free and compulsory primary education. This is a slide that I'm sure that you are very aware of. The participation rates are almost 100%, and therefore this goal is on average across the country, it has been achieved. By over the years, this has improved. 7 to 15-year-old children attending educational institutions by gender. This includes schooling, further education, and schooling particularly because of compulsory education. This is the compulsory education, the age for what children who should attend school. And then this just breaks it down by province. You can see where the changes have been. Most of the changes are really are not significantly different from year to year, but clearly there has been movement in this particular area. This slide speaks to children with disability attending educational institutions, and you can see by province what the improvements have been in terms of percentages. And in terms of... Sorry?
It's my...
Slide 14. I apologize.
Are they numbered?
Is it before gender?
It's just before goal three. Two slides before goal three. Learning needs of young people and adults. And then similarly, just in terms of the dynamics that we were talking about, early childhood participation, there's also a huge percentage of orphans attending, school as a percentage of total enrollment. And here we looked at the definition of orphans that is used by social development. So again, we see that the barriers to schooling have incrementally been reduced, and therefore participation has increased. We've also found that since 2009, the number of disabled children, people who are not attending school that are aged between 7 and 18, dropped from 670,000 to about just under 600,000, and most of those were in the 16 to 18 age group. This pretty much speaks to
to the learning needs of young people and adults, particularly 14 to 18 year olds, who you'd expect to occupy the later grades of schooling, post compulsory, if you like. So it includes a lot of 16 to 18 year olds, and therefore the enrollment rates are slightly less. And this really tells the story about what's happening in terms of secondary school. This is broken down by province. You can see where the pressures are in terms of secondary schooling. And where then there's really needs to be an effort in terms of vocational education, further education and training improvement, and learnership, etc. Goal 3, in terms of goal 3, we reflect also on the number of learners, educators and institutions in terms of ABET programs that are offered formally by the Department of Higher Education and Training. Just over 300,000 learners are participating in those programs, which are formal, NQF level 1. But we also have the Math Literacy Campaign, which has just over, the target for 2014 is 4.7 million, and we seem to be on track in terms of achieving that particular target. We have halved, if you like, over 4 years, we've halved the number of, or doubled the number of people who are participating cumulatively in this particular area. So that's the Karikude Math Literacy Program, which covers those numbers. I spoke a little bit about further education and training institutions, and those are the figures, because we obviously have a lot to do with what happens to those learners who don't continue into secondary education, those learners who complete and they need vocational education. So we keep a fairly good eye on where they are, in which provinces, etc. And those are the figures that in terms of the annual survey statistics that we got from the Department of Higher Education and Training. So just under 400,000 in 2011, an increase of 50,000 people. So we can see that there has been an improvement in terms of opportunities, post-compulsory opportunities for young people, typically aged 16 and above, between 16 and 24 years old, and typically leaving with grade 9 qualification or matric qualification, but wanting to specialize in particular areas. Vocational areas in vocational programs. Goal 4 speaks to literacy level. Sorry, I think those Karikude slides should be in here. Apologize. Mm-hmm. Goal 4 speaks to the population age 20 and above by level of education from 1995, over the 16 years from 1995 to 2011. And you can see in the middle the first column, that the numbers, the absolute numbers have declined, but also the percentage of people who are adults, if you like, in the country, according to the statistics of Africa, has declined in terms of the ones that don't have any schooling. So more people are completing grade 7 and higher, and in terms of the share of the population, there's also a larger share, because we wanted to show both the absolute numbers but also the share of population who are, basically people are getting more educated, more people are getting more educated, more people are taking opportunities to get higher and higher levels of education, and that is very gratifying in this context. Goal 5 speaks gender parity, and this is a goal that has been achieved effectively. In terms of primary school education, in terms of early childhood, what happens at primary school, there are more boys than girls who are in primary school, but for some reason, the gap is closing. Some of the reasons for the gap, in primary school is because of high repetition of boys in primary level compared to girls, so they tend to, in terms of enrollment numbers, they tend to be higher. But also in secondary school, there are more female learners than male learners. So we will find that in terms of the gender parity index. We find this, on average, it's important to report this, but what we find is very important is by province,
to report exactly what the pressures are on boys, particularly in secondary level, to come out of school, particularly in the later grades of schooling. So this is something that we're monitoring by province, particularly, and we are looking at independent surveys for monitoring the dropout and the repetition of students by grade, but also by gender, just to work out exactly what the push and pull pressures are. So the next slide just looks at the National Income Dynamics Study, which was done by Saldru and the development unit in the University of Cape Town with the National Treasury Statistics South Africa involvement, and it shows the dropout rates are declining, negligible in the foundation phase, but also declining across the board in the secondary grade, except for the grade 8 and grade 11, where there are particular concerns around repetition and churning in the system. So this is quite a different picture to what it was 5 years ago, where there was a much more substantial dropout in the system than there currently is, and like there is currently measured. So we see then the dropout rates obviously manifest, the policy problems are manifesting in secondary schooling, as you can see, in terms of the increase, but we are gratified in terms of the primary grades that we're seeing some decline in dropout and the higher level of completion. So this is really looking at that. Goal 6 speaks to the improvement in all aspects of quality of education, ensuring excellence for all. And we look at the National Senior Certificate Passes, which I think this slide you have seen before by province, but also overall achievement in terms of the annual national assessment, which is just being done for 2012 now. The learners sat this yesterday across the country. And this just shows the distribution of performance in the different competency level, in the skills areas, but also different grades by province. The different aspects of quality, the different dimensions of quality we have spoken about, and I think that is previously, but what we really try to grapple with, although the international goals are very sort of, they speak about the averages, the national average, we're really trying to grapple with provincially what's happening, and even sub-provincially, how does the quality of schooling manifest, and in what ways, and how can that help to improve the system? How can that be then used to target improvements in the system? So we have inserted a lot of slides relating to the differential in terms of different aspects and dynamics of schooling in the country, teacher time on task, curriculum coverage, in terms of grade 5 children. This is a 2009 survey that was done, just revealing the extent of coverage of the curriculum. Teacher content knowledge in terms of the SACMEC 2007, it's a bit dated now, but we're reflecting against the province what the deviations have been. And the contribution to learner performance. This, clearly for the quality of education is not, can't be seen in isolation. What we've done is we've also looked at some of the issues, the morbidities that affect the young people in the country. We're looking at HIV prevalence, for instance, by age group for young people, but also for children aged 2 to 14, which has declined since 2002, according to the demographic health survey, as well as other health-related surveys done by the HSRC to show that prevalence rates are declining. And have declined slightly since 2005, and definitely since 2002. So these are the things that affect how learners present themselves at school. So it's not just about the quality of education, it's not just about what happens in classrooms, but also what happens in households, what happens in communities. And our conclusion is really that when not satisfied with the level of performance of the system, particularly for the poorest and most vulnerable members of society. But in terms of access to basic education, South Africa has done well, has achieved the goals. In terms of access to meaningful education with quality outcomes, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And we need to improve the education services, raise the standards of teacher and learner performance. And these are reflected in the sector plan, as you can see from the Department of Basic Education, and is an first outcome and first priority of the government. The next section really looks at the MDGs and essentially really covers what I covered in terms of basic education. And the first slide in that section really speaks to most of what I've covered. In terms of the Millennium Development Goal 3, also speaks to share of women in wage employment, as well as the proportion of seats held by women in national parliament. I thought that it would be nice to reflect that in this particular portfolio committee. The other indicators, if you like, we've spoken to. May I stop there?
You can check, please. I think if you complete it, then it is okay, because people are just looking through the last few pages.
Okay.
This report, what we didn't do, and I think it will be important when it comes to our researchers, just to do a comparative study since last year, or perhaps, you know, let us take it over a few years, you know, perhaps 5 years, just for us as a committee to see the improvement. But I think what would have been important too was like, with goal 3, 4, 5, 6 going on, you have the data. You know, at the beginning of everything, just the number of schools in South Africa, the number of learners, because then we could have also done a comparison, you know, while we are sitting here, number of learners attending school. Then you disaggregate it into special schools. I don't want full service schools. Or perhaps you can have special schools, number of special schools, number of full service schools, you know where disabled people are, and the number of ordinary public schools. Because that would have also been important for us actually to look at it, because it's partially covered as we go along. And I'm 100% sure you have that data within education itself. Are there any first questions? And you can questions with comments, because I'm sure everyone went through it, and we read through it too. Now I read through it too myself, and I know exactly what is happening, but the other data will help the committee, and even the data that our researchers have to do. I'll start with Tata Hanyafu. Alright, once we start with, so we're going from the bottom section coming up. Honorable Smiles, coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There are 6 goals, and I've got 5 questions on each. I mean, on each goal, I've got a question. Is that okay, Chair?
Yes, I'm
going
to allow you to answer.
But
I'll make 2 questions on each goal.
No, I will not, Chair. Sure. Chairperson, yes. Let me start by saying, from my side, the access to education is noted. But then, if we come to the quality, it's questionable. I just want to say on slide 1, I mean, the progress on EFA, goal 1. We note that the grade R section, that's the percentage of 5-year-olds, that's grade R, right? Now, it says 84.8%. My question there is, although that is acceptable, I would say acceptable, the question is, are those little ones in good hands? That is the main question. Because if we, sorry for my language, If we mess up there, then it will be a long-term effect. Then we can be sure that grade 12 will not be a good result. Chairperson, the next one is on the second goal, goal 2. And that's on percentage of 7 to 15-year-old children with disability attending educational institutions. Chairperson, I think the same question with regard to disabled learners. May I just motivate more to say that in a school catering for disability, it is just a fact that it is support intensive, meaning there must be resources. There must be those equipment that support the learners, and there must be professional staff. You cannot only have teaching staff. You must have professional staff. So once again, the question will be, are our learners with disabilities are in good hands, and are they being taken care of? It's clear the access is acceptable. Mm-hmm. Then, Chair, on goal 3, the slide on number of learners, educators, and institutions in ABET program by province. We see that the Gauteng province is doing very well in terms of learners, but looking at the number of institutions, then you would see they've got 56, as opposed to Limpopo with 713 institutions. Now, if Gauteng can do well with the highest number of learners with the lowest number of institutions, can the department maybe tell us whether they have looked at this model of Gauteng, which is obviously successful, I would say, relatively, and are they encouraging other provinces to do the same? Chair, then there's a slide which I don't have, and I've checked the other. It's the slide on the dropout rate. I don't.
Yeah,
yes. That one is not in our pack. I've checked the second pack of documents. It is not even there. So maybe we should be updated on that one. If we can get that slide. It's an important one. Chairperson, yes. That was the 5 questions. Oh, yes. The last one was mitigating the impact of poverty. I see the interventions, but I don't see that no fee schools as being regarded. Maybe it's an omission, but no fee schools obviously is one of the main. It's just a comment. Main drivers or interventions to reduce poverty. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Martin. Just when it comes to education for all, just on the ECD question that was asked, when it comes to your targets, you say likely to be achieved. I think you're supposed to attach a date for us on that one. You say when is it likely to be achieved? That's your third slide. Because the Honourable Smiles asked, are they in good hands? He wants assurance from the department. And then I'm just saying your target achievability by 2014, out by 2014. Then the question you say likely to be achieved, then just say, will it be? Just assure us on that one. Because I know according to your goals, by 2014, all grade R classes have been included into our school system, into the schools itself. So just give us assurance. That was Honorable Khaniago. And then, oh yes, with the dropout rates, Will you answer a question? Just show us a slide. Because you spoke well, so thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking at a slide on teacher time on task, because they are not numbered here, but we'll just indicate the headings. it is really disturbing when one looks at this graph. For the purple one there, compared, for example, to the Western Cape. Now, if one does some little calculations, what it means is if 29.5% is receiving 20 hours of teaching per week from their teachers, I mean, those grade 5 children, then it means 70.5 of the kids are not benefiting from the 20 hour thing. Now the question is, what could be the reasons for such a discrepancy, and what is the department doing about it? Because obviously if you speak of quality education and you compare the two, you start to doubt whether there is quality in the first one as compared to the last one there. Just to get an idea of what is actually happening, what is the department doing about this? Because really, it is revealing certain things which I would like to know. And then you move to the slide on, I think it's goal 5, where it speaks about more boys in primary school than girls. Now one begins to wonder, why is this happening? Why do boys repeat? Maybe the department should really go into investigating this, because they get the instruction from the same teachers. The same teacher stands in front of them, but at the end of the year, you get one thing, one gender dropping in terms of achievement. So what could be the reason? I know it's not easy to give a ready answer, but this is also disturbing. We would want to see parity. That is the one thing. Maybe just a comment, even if you don't get a real answer, but a comment would help to satisfy one's curiosity about this. And then the other one is on the slide on progress of EFA goal 1. You know, it is always very disturbing when we hear of compulsory education. Now one begins to think that compulsory education is on paper, because if we speak of dropout, and we don't know what happens to these ones who drop out, what is the department doing? Because once they drop out and we regard them as people who are not in school, and on the other hand we speak of compulsory education, you can't compel if you don't drive. You'll have to do something to drive those who drop out to go back into the education system. So it worries. Sometimes we feel like we should not speak of compulsory education. Maybe we should look at another term that will really satisfy the mind. Because if you speak of compulsory and you meet kids in the street who are not in school, and we don't know what is the department is doing to enforce this so that all our kids are in school. So it is a bit disturbing. Just a comment, you know, about what the department is doing when you see things happening in this manner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson. Just one question, but allow me, Chair, just to raise the whole of this goal so that I put my question into context. Goal number 2 under education for all goals. It reads that ensuring that by 2015 all children, particularly females, children in difficult circumstances, and those belonging to ethnic minorities have access to and complete free and compulsory primary education of good quality, then you say almost achieved. Almost achieved. In the South African context, who are these children who belong to ethnic minorities in the South African context whose education has almost been achieved? I understand those in the difficult circumstances, but you may as well want to explain who are those in under difficult circumstances. But my last question, Chair, still on that one, I'm interested in this. When the goal talks about good quality and you say almost achieved, you know, recently, I don't know what your reaction be, recently there's this progressive report which ranks our education system as number 142nd out of 144 schools. But yet, we talk of the quality having almost been achieved. How do you reconcile these findings from the progressive report, ranking our system the lowest, and your own rating that we have almost achieved this? Thank you, Chair.
I was just thinking on this report you're speaking about. I should like to see the one, because the second time you're speaking about it, because it was where South Africa was reporting to, but we don't know which countries were there. Thank you. Huh? Now you're going to give to me, my dear. Honorable Lavmo.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I had a concern about the same thing. And in fact, I think that for Goal 2 and Goal 5, it would be advisable to take out the almost achieved and to say unlikely to be achieved, because they do contain of good quality. Goal 2 and Goal 5 are unlikely to be achieved. They contain the words of good quality, and we are saying in Goal 6 that we are unlikely to achieve quality education. So we cannot say those two goals are almost achieved. Chair, all my questions otherwise refer to one single slide, and that is initiatives to improve quality of schooling. Now, my reading of the situation thus far is that the problem at the base of all the other problems is the lack of accountability in the system. And it's one of the reasons why I was so concerned that IQMS was not on the agenda this morning. From the level of the teacher, in fact, even of parents, but within the employees of the department, from the level of the teacher to the district to the province to national, etc., there is a distinct lack of accountability. People are simply not being held accountable for their actions or their omissions. Now, that is not listed as a bullet point at all. Accountability measures, whether it be performance contracts, whether it be teacher performance appraisals, whether it be IQMS, whether it be whole school evaluation, whatever it might be, it is not listed as a bullet point at all. Now, I accept that it might well be part of, and it is, in fact, Action Plan to 2014 towards the realization of schooling 2020-2025, but it is so important that I do believe it is necessary to highlight it as a separate point. So that's not necessarily a question, it's a very strong comment. Then a question with respect to Action Plan to 2014. The Cabinet recently accepted the National Development Plan. Now, the National Development Plan has, it has very good things to say about the Action Plan to 2014, But it in fact includes much stronger targets than this particular plan. And my question is, when will this plan be aligned with the National Development Plan? Chair, very specific question for yesterday and today. Yesterday was the start, was it? 80? Yes? Mm-hmm. Of Anna. There were widespread reports of non-delivery of papers, particularly in the rural areas throughout South Africa. Now, that opens the entire process to possible abuse. It opens the entire process to questioning of results, because I can, I'm saying this as if it is a simple exercise, it might not be, but it can certainly happen. You don't get your paper, I make copies of mine, we all work out the questions together, you coach your kids, and you get your paper tomorrow, and they're right. So in light of the non-delivery of papers, I mean, what is the problem there? And how are we going to ensure the reliability of ANA going forward? Because that is going to be used as a tool to develop intervention strategies for next year. The literacy and numeracy strategy, Chair, in the same slide, has been referred to on numerous occasions. I have yet to source that strategy. I have yet to see a document that is entitled Literacy and Numeracy Strategy for South Africa. Does such a document actually exist? And if so, where is it? Something else that is missing in my view from this list of bullet points, initiatives to improve quality of schooling. There are a lot of tests, and there are things like multi-grade interventions, etc., but there's no teacher professional development. There's no curriculum support. There's no curriculum subject advice. Again, it might be part of the action plan to 2014, but teacher professional development is surely an issue on its own. It was dropped from the annual APP? Performance plan.
Yeah.
It was dropped as a goal from the annual performance plan this year, and it's very concerning that it's actually not on this bullet point list, which I assume would be listing the most important interventions. So my question is, why not? Where is it incorporated? Thank you, Chair.
Department, when it comes to the ANA, I don't think you'll be able to answer that question now. You know, the one that Honourable Lovemore asked. But I know it's part, but look here, they're so busy. They have to come back to us to tell us what happened, because Ms. Carlson won't be able to answer, because Dr. Pollack is in charge. Pollack, whatever his surname is. Pollack, yeah. So they won't be able to answer that question, but we have to put it into abeyance, because when it comes to examination, they have to speak to us about those discrepancies that took place.
I hear what you say. I hear what you say. But the fact is that Ms. Cardle is the senior official who is representing the department today. She's not Ms. Cardle, so she is the Department of Basic Education. So whether Dr. Pollier is here or not, there is an issue that is actually a crisis. The annual national assessment papers did not reach school here today. So surely that must be answered by the department. And the department for us are the officials that we have with us today. If they don't have answers, they must phone Dr. Pollier.
Fine, then I'll leave it as such. I'm handing it over again. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's important. For instance, I did issue a statement yesterday on the very same question where teachers went to these centers only to be told that the exam papers, and then they will be sent another 50 kilometers away. And I've already been interviewed by some some newspapers. Perhaps it could be useful if she has got some more information read on it. You know.
Thank you. I'll leave it as such. Thanks a lot, the two honourable members. Honourable Mauni.
Thanks, Chair. On the slide on education for all goals, there's goal 1 up to goal 6. My question relates to goal 6, unlikely to be achieved. Is it a question of time, or is it a question of mission impossible? And then I have also on enrollment in grade 11 and 12 by province. I see that some provinces have small enrollment numbers. I know that the Northern Cape has a small population compared to any other province. But Free State, Western Cape and Northwest, I would like to understand what their situation is like. Western Cape, Northwest, Free State. And then my last question relates to the slide, teacher time on task. I have Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and the rest of the provinces, but I don't see Gauteng on this slide. I would like to be clear or clarified. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think I've got three issues to raise. The first relates to our ranking as a country in terms of the implementation and achievement of the MDGs. Just to say this is where we are, so that we are not just implementing them in the dark without saying this is how we compare to other countries and so on. I think we need that. The second, it's going into exactly why we seem to be performing poorly as South Africa compared to other poor countries in the continent. In Africa, when we're spending so much in education, why does it happen like that? Insofar as perhaps quality is concerned, why do they perform better than us? Are we able to explain that? I know, Chair, perhaps this goes to my third point, that when you look at the slide on teachers, text, and time, I think it may not be everything, but a lot of issues and challenges, and now some of those could be dealt with, are raised. Even the point, when you look at bullet point 4, talks to what was being raised as well by Honorable Lovemore, issues of accountability and development and so on. If we were to achieve that, in my view, we're going to get somewhere, a long way in terms of achieving most of those, dealing with the aspects that we've got. So even in your conclusions, you are raising these issues. So we seem to be clear on what needs to be done or what sort of interventions are needed or still needed in this sense. But the issue is, the money we are pumping into education, is it not enough to deal with this intervention? What is the problem? Do you need more money? Because I don't think you will talk more money when in fact the money already we're spending high on education as a country. What is the problem? So that we get to know how particularly ourselves in our capacity as members of parliament we could play a role in that. Where is the exact weak link? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think we're all going to sing the same song for now. But I really think it should just be the point of emphasis. Firstly, Chairperson, I will start again with the six goals that we have. Really, for me, Chairperson, that is why I say I will be singing the same song as what has been done. When you look at goal number six, talking to quality education and improving all the aspects of quality education, I think it, as a country, we have been honest enough there to say it's quite unlikely to be achieved. But then, looking at the above goals, somewhere, somehow, I think we are, I don't want to say deceiving ourselves, but I think we are contradicting what we find in goal number six. And my worry is, Chairperson, we always have such a report, we always have such analysis as it has been put. Maybe we don't need to sit here again and look and try to blame each other. But Chairperson, maybe it's challenging us, even as the portfolio committee, together with our learned colleagues from the department and wherever, where we can say, really, where are we going wrong as a country? Because it shows that there is somewhere we're going wrong. We cannot know what is happening. We cannot be knowing, sitting here, knowing exactly that point number A is wrong, point number B is wrong, but it can take us 50 years to fix that up. Where are we getting it wrong? Maybe, Chair, it's just a proposal, really, where we can have a day or two. It's a pity, even if we open up these things, sometimes we don't get deeper into the roots to say, how can we best make this as a country to make sure that we cannot sit here, Chairperson, for 10 years talking of poor quality numerics and literacy, but all of us here, we cannot fix it once. You know, maybe really, I think that is where we can say, not blaming each other, not, but let us try and come up with a solution, because we're not moving anywhere with what we're doing as a country if we're going to continue like this. I was happy, Chairperson, to look at the graphs, the one with people with disability and the quality and the access to education. And my one, Chairperson, there is to say, with all the graphs actually, but that one, I need to be specific, where we talk of access and what is it that we get out of it. Yeah. We have these people with disability accessing the schools, but are we sure of what is it that they're getting there out of those schools? It's a problem. It's even more than the challenges we have in our education system, but specifically with them, what is happening in those schools, and we have been raising this thing now and again. I think really for us not to have such good reports, because it might seem good, but we must be concerned as to say, really, are we getting to where in the country we want to get? Chairperson, I'm very concerned about the issue of Anna and the question paper. Yes, I think it was a matter of concern to all of us yesterday, where we learned that there are schools who did not receive such papers. And that is when, Chairperson, I began to ask myself as to say, sometimes the reports we receive seated in the boardrooms are good. And sometimes we don't have a mechanism of making sure that such reports we are receiving, we can verify them the way you are supposed to. It's quite impossible, the legal is impossible for us to go through, run around the country to each and every corner of the country, because we receive a report here on Anna, of which was very good, with certain time frames as to say, this month, where are the papers on such and such a day, what is happening. So it was a little bit of a shock for me to learn that really there were schools that were still struggling yesterday to get a paper. And I think we're going back to the question that I raised, that was to say, what is wrong? Where are we not getting it correctly? Because really, it was a concern, but maybe if we get, of which I maybe cannot expect that much today, but after the whole exams have taken place, we wish to know exactly what went wrong on the good plan that was presented on the committee on how Anna is going to be monitored and how the whole examinations are going to be run. So really, it is a concern, and
we really need an explanation on that one. And though it might not be an explanation, we know in whatever thing you do, there might be challenges. Those challenges, so that in future we learn on them and make sure that we don't, we are not faced with them anymore. Thank you.
Chairperson. Olokina's question is very relevant. Can I offer an answer?
You are not certified. You want to answer? You are not certified. Let them answer.
That's one that's wrong. Why would you go?
Alex, but do you want him to answer?
Change the podcast party.
thanks a lot. You know, I like it when we come to this meeting. But the way Honorable Tina put it, and even the other members, I can even speak about the opposition to, you know, start away from smiles coming up, that there's so much to be desired. Because when we spoke about the question papers that did not get to where it's supposed to be, then I was thinking on the textbooks, you know, just came up into mind. But departmentality is important, therefore I spoke about figures, because if we have figures, then at least we can say this portion is noted in your report, you know, because we've seen it's 84%, you know, your 84% is correct, your 90% is correct, because even with the goals, when I looked at goal 2 and I made 2 strokes next to it, and I looked at goal 6, I made 2 strokes next to it, but I put something else in the stroke. Because it indicates the reiterate to me in goal 2, you're speaking about quality, and you say almost achieved. When you go to goal 6, then you say unlikely to be achieved. And I think all members sitting here queried it when it comes to these 6 goals. And even like... And it would have also been important, you know, for us to compare our accountability system today to this system. So I think I'm going to sit with a researcher and we're going to draw up some kind of a template on, you know, what would we like to see within these goals when it comes to the goals itself as a committee. I think Honorable Jacoba didn't ask a question. He came in a bit late, but we received your apologies, sir. And we said that the apology means you'll be late because you were phoning the whole time and people couldn't get through to you. So I'll give you a chance to speak.
Yeah. Just to say very broadly, because I was not here when they did the presentation, but just looking at how they handle goals.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Chairperson, if you have a goal that says by 2015 I must have completed a house, then you start by doing your own milestones. When do you expect the foundation to be done? When do you expect to do window level? Where do you expect? You can't say by 2015 and then somewhere say it's almost complete and then you say it's unlike. I think from the beginning, maybe we also drop the ball because we have been having this with us. There are no milestones. We should be saying by 2012, this way I must be. By 2013, this way I must be. By 2040, so that you are able to monitor yourself. My suspicion is that it's even difficult for them to monitor this. That's why there is something like almost, like you say, what is almost? Does almost mean 15%?
Mm.
Does it mean 90%? Yeah. So we don't have that. Maybe now as they talk to us and talk about the almost, you must be able to say, I've missed 2 milestones.
Mm.
And these were my milestones. And because of that, I've come to a conclusion that on this one, I think I won't make it. Then you don't pursue it anymore. But even this one that they say likely to be achieved, what does that mean in terms of milestones? What's their yardstick? Well, the other thing is that, Shepard, just on the issue of I'm not sure we have to wait for the end. If there is something that is very urgent and we don't get a satisfactory answer now, I think we must call, we must make an urgent call. Somebody must tell us so that we know that there can't be a recurrence.
No, thanks for that advice. And I like the way you put it with the building. You know how you measure. Because to me it's also unclear. If we say by 2014, our ratios will be this within our schools. You know, how are we getting there? Because that same ratio the department is speaking about in 2014, we heard, you know, quite a number of times ago that it should have been done now. Thank you. Mrs. Carlson?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. We want to tackle all of the technical questions related to the presentation first, and so we'll deal with that in terms of clarifying those issues that members have sought further clarification on, and we'll come back to the other content matters at a later stage. I will hand over to Mr. Deliwe to take us through the technical aspects of the report first.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I think that the point that has been made about the number of schools and the number of learners, etc., I think is taken, so we have that information available, readily available. We will send that or leave it actually behind with us, with you, portfolio committee. The point that's been made about access and quality is questionable, very critical and very, very important. The grade R participation quality issues, the disabled quality, the learners with special needs, what is the quality of that? That is really a comment that is about the last school, if you like, but also that runs through the others. In terms of ABET institutions, these are institutions that are the responsibility of higher education and training. However, we know that certain provinces had a policy of accessibility of ABET institutions, hence the increased number in certain provinces rather than others. But also it's also about the density of the population, the adult population in the provinces. So certain rural provinces, for instance, made a conscious effort to make adult education available closer to communities, as with other types of education, hence the sort of spread of ABET institutions around the country. But the Department of Higher Education and Training will be, this is something that I know from before the split, if you like, of the department, but we can get, more detail than we've gotten from the Higher Education colleagues. The slide on dropout, hot off the press, literally, so we will leave the presentation with the dropout slide on it, definitely. Apologies for, I literally got it yesterday evening.
I was going to speak
to it
now.
I will do that. Definitely. It's the National Income Dynamics Survey that was done, and the results have just come out, basically. So what was done is compare between 2007 and 2008 and academic years, and 2009-2010, who said that they were in school, who said that they were not in school in the different grades. So who was not enrolled, and those that not completed grade 12 by their grade in the preceding year. That's per grade dropout. Honourable Chairperson. We'll leave the presentation. So apologies for that. May I continue?
Yes, you may.
Okay. In terms of teacher time on task, definitely the points that are being made about the accountability issues, and in fact, one of the things that we're very, very... you can't see?
No, I can't see.
Okay.
I just wanted to keep quiet.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm being disruptive, I know.
Oh, you're also disruptive.
No, I'm just being disruptive.
Why?
Because I can't read what's written on that slide.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
No,
okay,
not
okay.
Put it on slideshow view.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I'm so good.
You know, today I'm just giving you time.
You're being very kind.
No,
I appreciate that. You're obviously very kind. Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
So per grade, in 2007, which is the blue, and the movement 2009-10, which is the red.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just rather look at it, because normally when we hear your presentation, we go back to go into it again, just to see what is happening.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You can
Thanks.
Leave it on and go on to answer.
Okay. In terms of teacher time on task, the slide 35, I think
mm-hmm.
it was, reflects the focus on learning, because we do believe that learning is not just about, the materials that are required for that, but certainly it's about the curriculum, it's about workbooks, it's about assessment use, not just assessment for the sake of it, not just tests for the sake of it, but actually to provide a diagnosis of where learners have weaknesses and where A, subject knowledge needs to be improved, but also teacher development, etc., needs to be improved. Infrastructure is about teacher development and accountability, not just accountability of teachers, but accountability, as the Honourable Member had pointed out in the comments, related to all in terms of support of learning and teaching at school. It's about quality of material, coverage, and cost, actually, particularly in terms of constrained budgets and the context that we find ourselves in, but also the learner performance improvement for multi-grade and difficult contexts. So making sure that basically what we need to cover and how we use the curriculum and the outcomes related to that are appropriately done to ensure that outcomes are achieved. I think that's really the point to bear in mind. The what I didn't mention clearly because it's detailed, it's also about making sure that teachers are not, in certain cases, are not burdened with duties that are not related to just learning and teaching. So there are better implementation of post-provisioning norms, but also better support of teachers within schools and how the schools are organized. So we're not getting away from the fact that it's about school, the management of the curriculum, but also management of the schools and how that happens, how teachers are supported in terms of the work that they do by district, but also other officials and other members of staff within schools. There was a question about how I do boys repeat. International studies have shown that learner performance, unfortunately, girls do better, particularly in senior phases of school. And there's a lot of work in South Africa. There's no difference in terms of the pattern, in terms of their performance, but also in terms of secondary school. What the subjects that they take, basically, they tend to do a little bit better than boys. So there's a lot of work related to that and what the reasons are, etc. But boys also do repeat more in certain cases, and we are not just concerned about boys repeating, but also boys dropping out, particularly in the more rural and farming communities, but also particularly in times of great stress to household income, because we realize that they are the ones then who need to go out and who are the first port of call in terms of household supplementing their income and getting jobs instead of doing what we have found, and I don't have the slides here, what we found in terms of the data is that they tend, over the last year or two now, because strangely because of the global recession, boys tend to stay longer in school than they did before the recession, because clearly school is seen as a way of getting out of the rut that families are in terms of the poverty. So, but we're still monitoring some of those dynamics very closely with our colleagues in Stats SA. but also the demographers, just to find out exactly what it is. What's influencing this? In terms of goal one, there are, yes, I had mentioned that there are just under 600,000 that are not in school, and 115,000 of these learners aged 115,000 roughly are aged 7 to 15. We realize that it's just the Honourable Member's point about what you see, what you do when you see a child who should be in school on the road is a very important one, because there are 12.5 million learners in the system, and there has been a lot in terms of the improvements in out of school youth and out of school young people. Most of these 600,000 are 16 to 18 age group. Over 450,000 of them are in the 16 to 18 age group. So they are past grade 9, which is the compulsory phase of schooling. And we rely on social services. We have the links with the police station. We have links at in terms of the QLTC and community involvement with community groups, NGOs, etc., to try to get young people to go back into schooling, go into vocational education, etc. But it's also about attitudes. What do people do when they see young people on the street? You know, it's like disciplining a young child in certain communities. It's fine, I wouldn't mind it, but other people take offense to it. So it really is about attitudes to and responsibilities for one another's children and for young people. And I suspect that's where we're getting with some of the interventions that we have in this particular area. So it's about formal opportunities, but also about how one makes it accountability for their activities, personal but also community accountability for young people, and where they should be and what they should be doing, etc. In terms of the comments related to quality, I'm really going to take this as comments that related to the work that there is that faces us, if you like. The points that were being made about the goals in terms of their achievement or not is most of the goals are about all of learners. So it's about 100%, whether how close we are to 100% and the reasons for that. And I tried to bring some of that into the conversation. But the point is made about the numbers that are involved in the and the gap from between where we are in terms of 96%, 99% and also the 100%. Accountability is very important. The focus on learning slide just looks at the classroom accountability, the district level, and community. The point that is made about the alignment of the action plan and the development plan, very important indeed. Unfortunately, the development planning commissioners had a longer horizon than we did. We developed the action plan in 2010. By which time the development planning process was in its infancy, and therefore we're not able to sort of push the horizon. But definitely they have a 2030 horizon, and most of their goals are for 2030. So they seem to be steeper goals than we have, but our goals are for 2025, and some of them, the goals that I've spoken about are for 2014, 2015. So one has to take those into account in terms of sort of how much work there needs to be done. Clearly, however, there needs to be a lot of work done related to quality of education and the different aspects of quality. I will reflect on some of those in some slides that I pulled out while the honourable members and chairperson were talking. Just in terms of the literacy and numeracy strategy, we will make it available to the portfolio committee. I thought that we had already done that, but clearly that is something that we will do immediately after this presentation. In terms of the time in which it can be achieved, I think I've just spoken a little bit about the timelines. It is time-bound. A lot of them are time-bound. However, I do want to make a point that has been made about the development of educational system. We've had a situation where participation increased, has increased substantially, particularly over the last few years. But clearly what we have is a huge amount of backlog, which we cannot ignore. For the majority of our pupils, and a lot of those backlogs, and the rate at which we deal with a lot of those backlogs determines the rate at which we improve learner performance. Most other countries that we are compared with, and I'm not being defensive in this particular case, a lot of other countries that we're compared with haven't got as high participation rates, literally, people sitting in classrooms as we do. I understand that there are quality issues, however, they don't have the same backlogs that we do necessarily. They may not be spending as much money, but they don't have the kinds of backlogs that a lot of 80% of our learners at home as well as at school battle with. This is a comparison of the different countries that neighbor South Africa, and the impact of school level dynamics and school level accountability measures and performance measures that affect, and we feel affect what happens in terms of learner performance. In terms of attendance of preschool, which South Africa is leading with jointly with Namibia in the SADC region, proportion of grade 6 learners with their own math textbook in Botswana is almost double at the time, 2007. And in 2009, it was 45% for grade 6 learners with their own math textbook or reading textbook. Grade 6 learners functionally enumerate as well as functionally illiterate. So we're dealing with, and then obviously with teacher absenteeism, teacher time on task challenges. So clearly there's a space to be made for accountability, what teachers should be doing, when they should be doing it, what they're covering in class, and how they're covering it so that they can accommodate learners. There's no question about it. However, we also see that this is what we're looking at over the years. This is what we're dealing with. So quintiles 1 to 4 is not in terms of the school quintiles, it's in terms of the household income quintiles. This gap has persisted since 2007, and this is not something to be underestimated. Again, this is not in your pack, but we can make this available. We're still doing a little bit of work related to it. It doesn't detract from the fact that things should be working better at school. The reason that there are ANA monitors, there are 150 of us outside in the provinces trying to do some independent monitoring of what's happening in terms of the annual national assessment, is because we want to monitor what exactly happens in classrooms, in districts, etc., to support young people, particularly in the districts that serve poor learners. However, there are a lot of things that we really need to keep our eye on. In terms of the teacher time on task, Gauteng didn't participate in that independent survey in 2009 for all sorts of reasons. So they are not actually included. Not like they didn't want to participate, it's just that it didn't happen for administrative purposes. The point that's taken about the ranking in terms of MDG achievement is very important, and we will include that in the future report. Thank you very much.
What about disability? Have you
heard
any
answers
related to disability?
Just trying to see if there's any disabilities. We realize that a lot of work really needs to be done in terms of learners in different contexts, but particularly in terms of making sure that learners have access to materials. That learners with disabilities are supported and identified, but also supported in a critical way. We have a lot of work that we need to do in terms of district support, because most of the support to schools and most of the support to learners is transacted through the district. So there's a lot of work related to how districts support learners with special education needs, and how that then improves the quality of provision to those learners. I was privileged to sit in on a meeting of district managers with the minister, where she literally pointed out to them that they need to come back to tell her, almost learner by learner, what they've done in terms of the different kinds of disabilities in the system. So that's something that districts will be monitored on. Districts will be monitored on, but also we have just finalized the workbooks in Braille for distribution again to learners who require these, and we're making adjustments, for instance, to the assessment procedure so that we can accommodate more and more learners, especially in terms of school-based assessment, in terms of assessment procedures and how that then we can then improve learner performance. The learners who are out of school, I thought I had covered in terms of the 600,000. It's an international goal, so in a lot of countries, ethnic minorities are a particular factor. Because it's an international goal, they had to sort of accommodate 100-odd countries in terms of in the South African case, for instance, it would be learners with disabilities, poor learners in terms of no fee schooling and reducing the barriers to learning, but it would also be girl learners and learners from disadvantaged backgrounds.
Thank you. I'm starting here with Honourable Dipuobo, Honourable Smile, and then Honourable Gina.
No, Chairperson, I know that it's an international goal, but in our case, it would refer to your marginalized ethnic, in this case, your Khoi, for example, because these are people who would have been somehow out of the system.
But why are people
not answering these things? No, I'm saying her answer is wrong.
Mm.
Her answer is wrong, because it means the department must pay special attention to communities such as the Khoi and others, who have by and large been out of the system. So the question would be, how are we doing that in terms of access to schooling?
Just keep that with me, Honourable Smile. Thanks a lot, Honourable Dipuobo.
Yeah.
We'll just take answers from the department by saying, you know, we're doing that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what Honourable Dipuobo said is precisely what I wanted to say. But to assist the department is to say, can the department go to Platfontein near Kimberley? There you have a community, a whole township of Khoi and Kram and whoever you want. Yes, and then look what is happening in terms of, you know, for those people. I've been there. I've seen a lot of young children in there. Well, while the school is on, they are still at home in the streets. Platfontein is a case study.
You didn't get what I said. I'm speaking about
Bradley Law. Okay. Once I respect your responses, but I don't think our questions on quality were mere comments.
Mm.
Those were hard questions on quality. Why we're not achieving that goal?
I think Mrs. Carr also said she's going to answer that one.
Oh.
Well, she has a technical question on the side. Uncle Vienna? I want to ask Uncle Mom, but they're not listening to my response.
I wonder what is wrong with them, Chairperson. But thank you, Chair. Mine would be on preschooling, the preschooling phase. Yes, Chairperson, we do get the report. It's not for the first time that at least we are doing much on that one. We are on the right track. But I am concerned, Chairperson, as to say, if we say that when we talk of preschooling, are we also including these centers that are run by social development? Are we talking of everything when it comes to schooling? Because for me, it's always a concern, Chairperson, when we look at the grade R classes. It still leaves much to be desired, just to say most of the time we have these tiny grade R classes that are sort of treated like a stepchild, you know, as to say now we are seated here, we are getting the report, we are doing well there. What is it actually that you are talking about when we talk of this preschooling part of our education? Are we only talking of these satellites that we have and all these crashes that are being run by social development, where we don't even know the program exactly as to what is happening, so that we have an idea really when we say we are doing well, what is it that we are doing well? Lastly, Chairperson, I also want to know on the graph about the orphans. It has been alluded that we are taking the definition by the social development. I don't know exactly what is it. What is that definition? What should we understand when we talk of orphans, so that we best understand that graph that appears there that talks on orphans?
Just answer the two questions.
Linked up to that question is like we have the One Stop Youth Justice Center, and those are the centers where we keep our children within the community. I think that will also be important to identify those learners at school, because I know sometimes it's problematic. The schools doesn't want learners that are offenders, because that children are under 18, where the record is not kept against their names. Thank you.
Seeing that people are adding questions, may I add one very quickly, please? Thank you. I'm very concerned by a statement that was made, and I don't doubt the statement at all, that it was linked to more boys staying in school, since especially the recession. The statement that was made is that school is seen as a way of escaping the poverty rut. Now, pregnancy is seen as a way of escaping the poverty rut for girls, and especially now, and you might have seen in the papers in Port Elizabeth, where we come from, that girls are falling pregnant and then drinking their way through their pregnancy, so that the children are born with fetal alcohol syndrome, so that they get a disability grant. Now,
which is more,
and it doesn't have conditions attached to it. My question is the, although the slide showed that the repeater, or you indicated that the repeater rate was going down, grade 11 repeater rate, is the repeater rate going up? Are children staying in school, in other words, enrolling in school, to be fed? And I don't ask that lightly. I ask it based on experience, and I'm using one single experience amongst many others of children in Somerset East who are in grade 11 for the fourth time. Are children children enrolling in school to be faced?
No, no, Chairperson, they might not have an answer now, but I asked this question, I think it was last year. The question by Honorable Khanya on children who are of compulsory school-going age, not at school, and then the answer treats this as some kind of a moral issue, taking care of each other, and all those things. And I want to submit, it is a legal issue. Not only moral, but I'm not sure. I've looked at the law. I've not come across a law that tells anybody what to do with a parent who neglects sending his or her child to school. I can assure you, I've read that, and we have asked the DG if anybody has ever been taken to task, and this committee will know of a debate that went on some time back about certain laws that were, you know, they were saying that people who were the charges would be withdrawn because there is no penalty imposed. So in spite of what the South African Schools Act says, one has a feeling that even up to now, I'm not convinced that there is enough that can be done in the absence of penalties and all those things. And maybe as the department reflects on it, it may just come back to us to say, how do we strengthen this law? Because for now, like I say, it's almost like a moral pressure that can be exerted on people. Nothing more.
Thank you for that. Ma'am, will you just answer? Can we leave all the rest to Mrs. Carr?
Yeah. Just answer the last one.
Mm-hmm. Answer the other questions to Ken.
Thank you.
And Mrs. Carr will take further.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. My apologies for seeming to diminish the issues relating to quality issues. The honourable member had indicated that this really required intensive discussion. It's a deep question. It's something that really needs a lot of detailed reflection. So I had just assumed that taken that as given, and in agreement really. In terms of the 0 to 4 year olds attending school or attending some sort of early childhood development training program, we have included not just grade R information, but what happens before grade R, precisely so we can see what the pipeline is in terms of grade R. So we might be doing a great job in terms of 83%, and yes, there are quality issues relating to that, but we want to also see what's happening in terms of early childhood access, early childhood care and support and development before they get into grade R. So it's work with the social development. That's how this 0 to 9 year olds are split in terms of the state. For 0 to 4 year olds and also 5 year olds onwards. So that really is just a reflection. If you like, I showed two sets of slides and to show what the improvements have been.
They do not receive nutrition.
they're not resourced from the basic education grant.
They're resourced by social development.
Yes, true. And private out of pocket.
Yes. Just speak to that and how to include it as you go along. Because you speak at the moment only about 24%. And it's now to get to that.
To this, I should speak to this slide. This is the
five. Yes, not literally that slide, but if you don't have the answers, go back and think about it. Because we are going to have the department and social development with us. We're going to look at your integrated, PCD plan.
Okay.
Because if you're in charge of
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
The indications are definitely that we will achieve this particular goal, precisely because since 2009 there's been a huge increase from 63% in 2008 right through to 84%. So the indications are that we will have that. But there is, as you indicate, there is integration work that's being done with social development on making sure that this happens in a quality way, etc. So yes, you are quite right. And the early childhood development, the development of grade R workbooks, the teacher, the learning and development standards for teachers, for instance, that also feeds into it, as well as the other work that we're doing with social development.
But there's going to be more to when it comes to that, because you have to remember, there are old mamas working the role in the children. So we are talking about questions for them. Okay. Well, they only have 6 levels. They don't want to have level 4. That's why she goes up. It's all interrelated and interconnected. Thank you. Just continue because we want to have a full.
Thank you very much. And the issue of orphans is orphans of all, both orphans who have lost a mother, as well as orphans who have lost a father, as well as double orphans. So that in terms of the definitions that we're using. For the increasing participation of orphans, we're using those young people who have lost both parents or either of one parent, either parent, if you like. In terms of out-of-school youth, it is very important to target interventions in terms of those young people who are not registered in institutions and to identify them where they are. However, the information that we are getting in terms of people who are attending educational institutions or who are participating in education in a particular way includes those who are in an institution. So that essay would go into prisons and remand centers, etc., to collect information on young people or on people in general and include that in the information. The decision about going out of school, To whether to drop out or not, I think it's a very complex decision that households have to make and individuals have to make, but also young people have to make about the households in which they come from. It's not taken lightly at all, and I didn't mean to indicate that it is a light thing. It is a decision that they make fully aware of the opportunity cost of doing that. And therefore, what I meant to say was they're not dropping out as much as they used to, particularly in the areas where there are pressures for them to get employment. This is something that we are, with colleagues in universities, etc., we're keeping our eye on the reasons why they do it, but also the quantum of that, these dynamics within different, particularly amongst young people, why they do it, how it's done, what choices are made about dropping back in, and what the perceptions are in terms of the role of education. So it's about really what happens to a person at a critical stage in their lives and how they make decisions about it. So I think that the point that I was making or trying to make, clearly I wasn't clear enough, was that people are staying in school because they see the value of school much more than they used to. So clearly getting a qualification is getting more important. That's what the indications. We still have to quantify this to find out significantly whether this is the case and it's borne out by the data, but we are seeing this more and more, particularly in rural communities and the communities that have more people out of school. The point that's made about the excluded and marginalized communities is noted and taken
taken on board, particularly in this respect. And the point about the rights related to compulsory education is important. However, somebody does need to report things, whether it's school, whether it's district officials or people in the community. A report has to be made that this is being, just as a report has to be made to the relevant authorities about the law being flouted. So that again is in terms of the application of the law and how that is then taken forward. But what we'll then do is just to report in terms of to the DG in terms of the request that's being made by the portfolio committee in particular, in terms of action that's been taken. Thank you very much.
Yes, now I've got these two responses to that. Thank you, Honourable Chair. We're very concerned about time, and I was really itching to kind of leap in earlier. If you will allow me to complete, then I will. Thanks very much, Chair. What serves as our full response, and I know that a number of these questions have related directly to the issue of quality, and for us as our kind of professional compass for ensuring quality improvement, we have worked systematically as a department in the development of the sector plan as being that kind of professional compass that guides all of our comprehensive responses to the demand within the sector. The concerns that have been expressed about this particular report also speak to the need for us to have a far more detailed set of nuanced responses to each of those particular items that have been raised. The fact that we're speaking to EFA goals almost in a sense takes it into a rarefied zone of responding within an international context to South Africa's response to those goals, which is why the terminology, the nomenclature, all of that speaks of an international framework of comparison. In our sense, we need to take that down, and we hear the members' comments very loudly and clearly, that we need to take it down to the detail of how in each instance these goals impact on the reality in the classroom and in the community at large. So to give the glib answer won't work for any of us sitting here. We can try to satisfy just the individual question, but to deal with it on a systemic wide level, we would need to go into far deeper sets of evidence that we can present, as well as the initiatives undertaken by the department. And inside, I think slide 34, we speak of the various initiatives to improve quality of schooling, but that only speaks of schooling per se. There are other slides that speak to the mitigating strategies around poverty, because we cannot move away from the fact that the quality access also hinges very, very closely to the issues of poverty alleviation and poverty anti-poverty strategies. When Mr. Leva has spoken about how we are trying to link our sector plan to the National Development Plan, there's a clear and obvious concern within the department as to how we realize the goals that are set, because they're not separate goals. They are the same goals. And we need to ensure that how we embark on this takes cognizance of each of the milestones that we have set. They may not come explicitly through this presentation, but when you go to the APP and when you go to the strat plan, you see our milestones there. When you look at our performance indicators in our delivery agreement, they speak of measurable evidence of improvement. And obviously we are challenged by the reality on the ground, as we are seeing through one of the initiatives for quality improvement being the ANNIS itself. So that in its infancy now is already again going to be a measure by which we will judge our own progress in this regard. It's a clear and obvious opportunity for the national department to see how it can comprehensively deal with the fact that there's a national department that has to work in concert with its provincial counterparts and its provincial partners. And in real terms, the HEDCOM and CEM platforms within the department have laid a very good strategic base for all of these discussions to be taken into the real experience of the child in the classroom. The Minister has that echoed in every one of her meetings very clearly, a single sentiment, that we are delivering on a curriculum which must impact on the child's access to quality schooling in the classroom. So no matter what we do about the sector-wide concerns about community and the social cultural impact, etc. At the end of the day, it's the impact on the learner in the classroom. And for that, the agencies of teachers, text and time come into play very clearly. The concerns that we've had about ensuring that at the national level we set a very clear set of parameters for the acquisition of learning, teaching, support material, that in itself is one of the strategies that the department has set in place in terms of beginning to embark on something which I think encroaches on what was formerly very much a provincial mandate. And it's at that level that the challenges are beginning to emerge for ourselves. And I think that if we're talking about a very real assessment of a progress statement on EFA and MDGs, we must do it against the backdrop of our own local experience and against the international comparative standards that are being set. So I think all of the initiatives and all of the sources that we've drawn on for this particular presentation speaks of measurable standards set by agencies outside of the education enterprise itself, which is why we need to look at the gender parity index. We need to look at all of the other measures that have been set in place for us to test our own evidence against. The issues of accountability that have been raised. In slide 32, we begin to speak about it as well, because we talk about the fact that we need to look at accountability in concert with development, because we need to work very, very clearly with those agents in the classroom and in the school context that will make the issue of accountability a mutually beneficial process. For that, we look at the establishment of MEDU, we look at the IQMS process, we look at a whole host of people who should have been in this meeting with us today to speak to each of those issues. And we will undertake to follow up with the necessary information for that to inform our further work. But I also want to say, Honourable Chair, that if we even go back to our own workshop with the portfolio committee, it was so rich in raising so many of the issues that we ourselves as a department are challenged by. We come into a forum such as this, and we have to brief you on progress, but we can't often speak about the things that you have not asked us to come and report on. And we need to find a space for that to happen. And I speak here maybe a little bit outside of my mandate from the DG for this particular meeting. But it was some of what we reflected upon after that workshop, is to think about how we can bring to the table, outside of the priorities of what you require us to brief you on, how we bring the conversations that happen in the spaces between that to this platform. And maybe what the Honourable Gina raised earlier was, where do we find the space for this conversation? How do we make it possible? Because it's about a mutual set of concerns that we feel we ought to speak about the whole host of activities that we're engaged in. Right now, there's a lot of multitasking happening within the department. We are all assisting. And it's not just the work of Branch P. The entire department is engaged in the monitoring process. So to come directly to the questions around Anna, and I apologize already in advance, I might have skipped over some of your pointed concerns, and I ask you to come to remind me of it if I don't touch on it. But in closure, I want to say that in terms of the Anna process, the report that I've received is that as of yesterday, by 6 yesterday, that no more than 12 schools, excluding those in the Northern Cape, were unable to write. 4 farm schools in the Western Cape did not receive the test, and these will be picked up, further detail will be picked up in today's report. All schools which did not write will be allowed to write by Friday, the 21st, before the entire ANA process is completed. And I've also questioned the issue of how do we then talk, you know, how do we ensure reliability and credibility of those results. That this will be all those schools that will be writing later than the date will be scrutinized individually by both national and the province, and they will be looked at separately. And where any untoward trends are detected, these will be identified through our centralized monitoring process. The team of monitors that have gone out there had gone out with a very clear manual of how we needed to conduct the work of monitoring. There were pre-monitoring exercises undertaken, which I'm sure in the ANA briefing session, Mr. Padiyashi probably would have spoken to, or Dr. Pollier. But there are a number of steps that are in place to ensure that this process picks up on the lessons of the earlier of ANA 1, but that this one is actually taken up in far more detail, having taken cognizance of the analysis of the first phase. I'm going to reserve further comments on the ANAs because I'll be speaking out of turn, with an SMS to guide me on in terms of the update that that you require as a committee. But honourable members and honourable chair, I feel that as soon as would be possible, Mr. Padiyashi and his team would be here to brief you on the findings each day. There's a very, very tight and close monitoring process which has been set in place, which I think can stand up to the scrutiny as, you know, equal to the NSC exam, as well as with the guidance of external agencies involved in the verification processes. So I trust that what I've responded to provides you with the necessary information that you that I'm able to provide to you right now, that you and hopefully that satisfies you, but that we will undertake certainly as senior officials to take back to the DG and the DBE the concerns expressed here today. If there are any other matters related to quality that you feel we should speak to at this point, please, if you can remind me of that now, then I'm happy to do that.
Can I just ask a question? Like, when it comes to what the findings of each day, how long will the parties take to have a briefing time? Because now that is, you know, we are going on the set and I'm looking for meeting in between them. How long will it take?
I can't answer that question. I know that each day there's a monitoring report that gets compiled nationally. I can check with Mr. Padiyashi and with our communications unit, and we'll communicate that to your office so that we can ensure that before you go into recess, we are able to provide you with the report that we are able to compile at that point.
Because we'll have to check while we're in the recess on it. Honourable Asmore.
Thank you, Chair. Just for clarity, Ms. Cardles has said in a report by 6 yesterday, with the exclusion of the Northern Cape, fewer than 12 schools have been able to write. My assumption is that is the Northern Cape schools that are affected by the, in inverted commas, service delivery process. Is that correct? It's not the Northern Cape generally, it's just those that have been closed.
That's also my assumption from what I've been told. Mm-hmm.
Then I think we'll have another report on this. I think it's important for us rather to close the meeting now. And what will be required from our team on our side, where they have to write reports on the Millennium Development Goals for the committee, on what's important to us and how do we see it. Because if that report will have to go to Mr. Speaker. So we have to do something. And I'll keep in touch with you because there were quite a number of questions that were asked. And then the committee will accept that, you know, we'll bring the report for adoption there. Then, when it comes to our workshop report, that report is ready. I think there's only one question that is going to be answered by one of the provinces, because one of the provinces phoned this morning. We will have our findings and recommendations on it. And we hope that the right department speaks enough, the department will fulfill those obligations. Because we will need a scientific. And we have a minute with quite a number of things that the department has to fill a report back to us on, which will be part, we will hand it over to the department that we can get answers on those things. I think that the report that we received was appreciated. And the question that was brought up when it comes to parents' obligations, when it comes to schools and compulsory education, the way the answer to COVID put it down as a legal issue. Because it is a legal issue, because we do say parents must be charged. I think that we'll have to go into. Because there they speak about we are supposed to have 20 officers within our district. And the whole process is you want your school's report to you on why they're not applying the law, then there should be good monitoring systems in place. Because they have to report to the district. And the district is supposed to do that work. And they relay it to your provincial department, and then they will relay it to you. I think the first thing to post it, there will be quite a number of councilmen in development dollars that work in stages that the Honourable Speaker wanted. We'll still have more meetings, just to start these meetings, and then the draft that you supposed to give us, you can just hand it to me, because I'm sure Llewellyn will keep in touch with me now. And without your work, I'd like to thank you, Mrs. Carter. That you felt beautiful to be present here today to present to us while other people are missing. And as I told the members, the ICM is report, the DGC has already ready in on Sunday. Because, like I said, it's a lot of work on the ground that has been done. And you know our quality, what we want. They have noticed now that the quality has to be of high standards. Thank you, Mrs. Carlson. But the committee has to just remain for a few minutes. We won't stay long. But if you feel really worried for today, what happened?
No,
but
you
can
tell
me. I think you're speaking. You're speaking. Stop playing these people on the side. And even Fonshana was disturbing me. And no, you were not mum today.
Let's start on page 1. Did you read the minutes? I'm not going to take no for an answer. You didn't read. And I want the people that's leaving to be more quieter. Page 1 of the minutes, are you satisfied with it?
Yep.
Alright. Page 2 of the minutes, we start there with a draft minute of the 8th of May. And we go to the draft minutes of the 22nd, only as far as they. Are you satisfied with that? Because these are the things I'm speaking about, that we'll have to send to the department where there are things where we didn't receive answers. Let's look at the minutes of the 29th to the 14th of August. Are you satisfied? We go there as far as there we speak of the committee needed to find space to meet with DBS on IQMS and MDGs. And we only need MDGs today. So can you see the committee is working on what they want? Let's look at the minutes. Is that accepted till yeah, the 14th of August, everything? Let's look at the draft minutes from the 21st of October. And then we go to the oversight report of Limpopo. Anything there that's incorrect? I will give you people chances for matters arising. Is that okay? Let's go to the last page. And let's adopt the report before we go into matters arising. Because we're told to do reports in our minutes in certain ways. Who moves the minutes for adoption is Honourable Gina and Honourable... yes. Now, matters arising from the minutes. Honourable Smile?
Yeah, Chairperson. Just the one on page one, the MDP. Will it be between you and the secretariat to decide to when we are going to have this?
Yes, because I have the first summary. How are we going to compare our comparative study or some kind? I don't know how we're going to put it yet. But it will be the MDP with that sector plan of the department. You know, their goals going through 2014 to 2025.
Then the next one is with regard to the adoption of draft reports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chairperson, without taking you back, what has happened last Tuesday? Is it Tuesday? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Last week in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Chairperson, I was very uncomfortable, and I think as a committee we need to decide whether it's okay when we adopt reports here. Then there's someone else to say, no, it must be noted. How does that work? Chairperson, I think that is a very critical question, because what happened last week was not, in my books, is not acceptable. So as a committee, I think, can we stand still on that one and then just make a position on what should be happening, what we expect? Because I think if our reports are only noted, then there's no obligation on the department to take our recommendations seriously. And in the end, also, Chairperson, then what is going to happen without, you know, reflecting on anybody, is to say then it's going to happen that IQMS, when we have an agenda, the department will decide for us what is our agenda, as it has sort of happened today. I think we need to come up very strong. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, because I think it is an important question. Because it is correct that if we adopt within the committee, it must be adopted within Parliament. And I'd like to apologize for that, but we're coming back with our answers, because the matter is being taken up by the WIP and myself. Because you are correct, if our reports are not adopted, then it means that it's fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So just committee members, bear with us, because as you are sitting here, we are all important, and it will be taken further. Honourable Lovemore.
Chair, thank you. A matter arising with respect to the report on the oversight to Limpopo is, and I wish it wasn't a topic that I was bringing up all the time, is the Limpopo catch-up plan.
Mm.
We had some input on it in Limpopo, but it's been presented to us twice. You are fully aware that I wasn't happy with it. That's not the point today. The point is that on Monday the 17th of September,
this last Monday, the Department of Basic Education announced that they would not be, and I've got the full report in front of me, I won't read it to you, but let me just read you the first paragraph. The catch-up plan for learners in Limpopo will no longer be designed in a military-style camp format. Both the Department of Basic Education and teacher unions say that setting up a few camps for the thousands of grade 10 learners would have posed logistical challenges. Now, Chair, I challenge anybody around this table to tell me that we have ever, or that they as a part of this committee, have ever heard of grade 10 camps that were going to be set up. We have never been told of these camps. Panyaza Lesufe said the capture, this is a basic education spokesperson, said the capture plans will instead be conducted at different schools, and there are 170,000 grade 10 learners that will now be foregoing their school holidays. The fact is that we were not given, twice this was presented, and we were not given information that is being announced to the nation. I find this absolutely astounding, Chair, absolutely astounding. And I certainly believe that this must be questioned from the Department of Education. In this particular case, with respect to Limpopo, because we have the detail on it, but as a matter of principle, if we are to do oversight, we must be given accurate information. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot. I'll just open it to the other members that would like to speak to it, and then we'll just make our conclusion.
It will depend how one to treat the matters arising, because it can be another meeting which will take time altogether. My understanding was that each time we conclude on a meeting and there are issues that constitute some program of action, they get noted to saying the following are things that have been resolved on, like receiving a presentation on the MVP and such kind of things. The issue is to understand how far are we going to be receiving that, when is that, which was facilitated by the search and your office chair, and so that we don't lose them. We must be assured in the meeting that yes, the following issues are being tackled, and if there are other issues of interest to members, that must be matters arising that must be tackled, we must highlight them. Say the following other issues are the in your attention or top in the agenda when I went in there. Then a program will be worked out to see this how they will be handled and so on. But if we want to start discussions, it will now be it will like we are going back to the very meeting. And those of the areas that will need a particular stakeholder to be here, then we must be able to raise the message to say we need to bounce with such a structure, and they must clarify themselves or explain themselves to us what they meant or how was that. So I'm just saying we must have a way in procedure on how to deal with those ones. Then it will be a meeting wherein we just share views and so on, and nobody clarifies what it means, you know. And I don't think that's how we should process minutes and matters arising.
I think, yes, I don't speak too long, but I just want to
Just in line with that, I think this committee can discuss issue of catch-up plan, but it definitely doesn't flow from the minutes. It's not arising from this minute. To the extent that here we are just saying we adopted the report. I think the honourable member, I would support the idea of, you know, putting it on the agenda and discussing, but it's not definitely not arising from this minute.
I take what you are saying. Now, Uncle Lachmo, don't laugh, because I like it when people speak. I like it when people speak. Tell that to Azapo. Azapo, I'm shocked and I'm horrified with what you are saying at the moment.
you are correct, because we are making a note of the catch-up plan, because we have to take it up with the department. So we do have it there, like the Honourable Makubela said, you know, we have to note the things and then bring it up again. Because therefore I asked in the meeting, how long will this problem take, the other problem take, in case we have to call your people back for a meeting. You know, how we are off. Thanks. I don't think there are any matters arising. And I thank you for that, right? Let's go to the minute of the 4th of September. Let's look at page 1. And I hope you people read, because I'm not going to accept anything as unread by you. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. That's a good one. You're slow. I can see you slow. Page 2. You didn't read.
No, I'm on PC.
All right, fine. Page 4. We just have to see if I made any marks here. Let's make it next time in read. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8, page 9, page 10. Just look at page 11, the bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 and 7 bullet points. Do you think that should be like in the past tense there? If you look at where we say high quality question papers were set and moderated. Is that correct there? Answer scripts were accurately marked and moderated. All examination marks were currently captured on the examination computer system. Should not be department has the following target success indicators and should ensure that. Yes, I'll go to Corvo.
As a rule, Chairperson, minutes are always in the past.
Yes, I know, but it sounds so as though this took place last year and it's this year's examination. Now I'm just a bit worried. Are we correct? Yes, it sounds so funny. Mm. Yeah, rather should ensure that. Then we leave everything in the past tense. Yeah. The department should ensure that. And you have small letters, that dot with small letters. Then everything can remain in the past tense. As you said, Honourable de Corbo, minutes are always in the past tense. All right, page 11. Thereby printing, packing and distribution. I don't think we got GPW must be written in full, because I don't know what is GPW then. GPW CETA. Just write it. Yes, but they have printing works, but they have to write it in full because we're going to know. But the people when they go through our minutes on the computer parliament won't know because these minutes are published. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Who adopts? Yes? Yes?
I do not want to get you back.
No, but
on page 6.
Page 6, yeah.
The bullet point on the Northern Cape.
Yes.
It says the project scope was 6 water and 16 sanitation projects, which there's no problem with that. Then the next sentence says none of the schools have been completed. To me, well, I can't really remember well the infrastructure.
Yeah.
But I thought... yes, my point here is whether we're talking none of the projects have been completed or it's another the schools were to be built, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yes.
So it may be projects.
Yes,
but if there were schools to be built which were new, then we must be able to say those schools have not been completed.
Yeah.
It's not related to the project.
Yeah.
But I suspect it's a project.
I think you have to look it up, because I was reading through the workshop report of Northern Cape just to make sure about the Kuruman story that they related to us in the workshop. And there it was written one school was completed within the Northern Cape. So let us check whether it's schools or whether it's projects. Who's going to adopt the minutes? What amendment? And who seconds? Who seconds? Who seconds the minutes? Else I second it. Thank you. Members, thanks for being present in this meeting. And thanks for the cooperation that we received during this period as the committee from all members. And members, be assured, with whatever we have to come back later to you with, we are coming back. Because I told the department today we're still going to have a list of things we sent into them. So it's that first minute where they have to complete. And we went through the program and we started ticking off things, you know, that will be on the program. And I think there's only three things we won't have on the program. But we'll come back to you with it. Because we have to see where can we put it in. And I always feel very pleased when it comes to this committee meeting, that the members take it serious, and I think when it comes to National Parliament, we'll sort it out that they take us serious too. Because the department should listen to what we have to say and what is our findings and recommendations, and come back with answers to us. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Wapsuni.
Thank you,
Jeff.